So 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And Father, we pray that again you would just anoint us, Lord, to even hear your word today. I know people will hear my voice audibly, but I pray that they would hear your spirit internally. And me as well, Lord, speak to me, through me, so that ultimately your will is accomplished and you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question before I read this one theme verse here. How many of us have capacity to influence someone else? Every hand should be. Let me. Maybe I ought to ask it this way. How many of you believe one child can influence another child? A little easier to answer that one. The word influence, a dictionary definition just really is the capacity to produce an effect or some type of impression. It's actually more of an indirect. It's not like I'm physically moving someone, but indirectly I can impact them. Indirectly I can reach them. That's the idea of what the word influence means. And I like how it's worded here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. It actually uses the word example to give specific areas where we are to be an influence. So he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example." Be an example to the believer in, and then he lists these specific areas, in word, in conduct, that just means the way we live, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Because we all have the capacity to influence. Every one of us, really, in essence, we are influencers. The issue is, what kind of influence will you be? A negative influence or a positive influence? An encouraging influence or a discouraging influence? Maybe a stingy influence or a generous influence? Will it be a moral influence or an immoral influence? So today I just wanted to really summarize that verse in this way as the title of the message: be a godly influence. Be a godly influence. We all have potential to influence someone. Others are around us, others hear us, others see us. Be a godly influence. Now, if we know Jesus as Lord, I want to emphasize that. Let me pause here a second. If God's Holy Spirit has convicted us of sin and drawn us to Jesus as the only remedy for our sin, Jesus and his perfect sacrifice on the cross, defeating death in his resurrection, if we have been drawn by God's Spirit to believe that in our heart and receive Jesus as Lord, not just know about God, but know God. If he is our Lord, then he has cleansed us from all sin. He has made us righteous, and we are indwelt by his Holy Spirit. And though we will never be a perfect influence in this life, by God's grace, we can be a godly influence. And not only can we be, God calls us to be a godly influence. Let me read that same verse in the New Living Translation. We'll put it on the screen for you if you'd like to follow along. It's 1 Timothy 4:12 in the New Living. It says it like this: "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young or because you're old, older. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are white, because you are black, because you are Hispanic, because you are Asian. Don't let anyone think less of you because you have a GED. Don't let anyone think less of you because you only have this much in your financial account. Don't let anyone think less of you because of any of those things." He says, don't let anyone think less of you, but be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. I like to say it like this. We influence with our words and our ways. We influence with our words and our ways. You might even want to write that down. We influence with our words and our ways. Would you say that with me? We influence with our words and our ways. And again, as we go through this, I know, you know, we'll be able to, if you're like me, you'll see areas in your life where you've been like, oh man, I fell short there, fell short there, fell short there. This isn't to condemn, it's to help us to grow and help us to draw closer to the Lord. Just show us how much we need His grace. We buy these devotions called The Word for You Today, and we have some back on our table. We offer them for free. You can just help yourself. They come out every quarter. And this past week, oh my goodness, had a couple of days really spoke to my heart. One of the days, the lady's name was Deborah Pegues, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It came from a book. I looked it up. It's a book called 30 Days to Taming Your Tongue, I think. But anyway, in reading this week's devotion, if you read it, you came across these words. I'd like to read what she says here. She says, Jesus never allowed courtesy and kindness to prevent him from telling the truth. But he never did it in a mean-spirited way. Wow. Nor should you. Sometimes we claim to be speaking the truth in love when the truth is that anger, frustration, disappointment, and retaliation are what's truly in our hearts. Before you speak, these are wise words, I believe, of wise advice here, where she's getting ready to say, Lord, help me. Take a moment before you speak to review the words in your mind and try to evaluate their impact. Wow. Wise advice. And just to, I know we can say, I'm going to speak my mind, or I'm going to, they're going to know what I think. That's fine. There can be a place for that, but it can be done in a right way, and it can be done at the right time so that it's better received, to try to think it out. So we influence with our words, and we influence with our ways. That verse talked about living a life of love, of faith, and purity. Jesus told us, He commanded us before He ascended back into heaven, go and disciple people. Go and make disciples. As you go about your daily lives, disciple people. Reach others and make them followers. Help them to be followers of me as well. We're really called to be living examples of following Jesus that others can copy. The Greek word there in 1 Timothy 4:12, example, actually means a pattern or a visible form to be copied. A visible form, something we see and we copy what we see. That's what it means to be an example. That's what it means to be a godly influence. In my study in here recently, just in some of the schoolwork I'm doing, I read about a group of pastors who was discussing which translation of the Bible is best. And as they were kind of going back and forth a little bit, one of them said, my grandmother's translation is the best I've ever read. And someone said, your grandmother translated the Bible? He said, yes, she translated the Bible into her life. I said, wow. I said, what a great translation. Doesn't the New Testament tell us we are living letters, we are living epistles of Christ, known and read of all men? Others watch us, whether we like it or not. Others observe us. Others see how we handle pressure, how we handle conflict, how we handle prosperity and blessing, how we handle disappointment. Again, none of us have arrived, but we want to be a godly example. We want to be a godly influence. Be a godly influence. Would you say that with me? Be a godly influence. Would you look at these verses or this one verse with me in 2 Timothy, just maybe a page over, or if you got the electronic version, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's read about Timothy's mom and grandmother here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. 2 Timothy 1:5 says this. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, you young man, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Lois and Eunice were godly examples to their grandson and son. And I know there, we can certainly all apply this, but I want to encourage you moms. Moms, please don't sell yourself short. You are a great influence in your sons and daughters. You have great potential to influence them. We don't read about Timothy's father or grandfather. That could mean they were dead, but he didn't say that. He just simply said, your mother and grandmother, and it may be that the grandfather and the father were not believers. They were not followers of Jesus. But Timothy still received that influence of a godly mom, still received the prayers of a godly mom, a godly grandmother, and they didn't go to waste. And Timothy, not only maybe he didn't have a Christian, a biological father he could follow, but he had a spiritual father he could follow in Paul. So he, the mom made sure he had some good influence in his life. but be a godly example. So I know our hearts, my goodness, our children, you know, they can be heavy in our hearts if we feel like they're not doing something maybe as we wish. But just be faithful. Be faithful. Keep living the life. Just be a godly example. Please keep praying. Don't give up and just trust God. I know we all have to choose to follow Jesus or reject him. And God has no grandchildren. But just I believe you just be faithful to do your part and to be that godly example. I want to just take the rest of the time for the message now and just share two ways that I believe we can be a godly influence to others in the form of two investments. So how can I, you say, Brother Rocky, I hear you, but how can I be a godly influence? I'm not even really sure, or maybe I don't have, you know, I'm not a parent right now, or maybe I'm retired. You still have potential to influence someone. Be a godly influence. Two investments. Number one, first, invest in yourself. I hope you'll get that in your heart. Again, you might want to write it down. Invest in yourself. Invest in yourself. Being a godly influence. And I know that there could be an initial reaction to say, oh, that's being selfish. You know the little saying, joy, Jesus others you. Or, yeah, you don't know how busy I am. You don't know what I got going on. I don't have time to invest in myself. I can appreciate being busy. I really can. I certainly work. I'm a pastor. I've been in school for 23 months straight. I understand that. I understand the pressure. Just moved our daughter, Kim, back and forth to Lynchburg. And, you know, there's been a lot going on. Sometimes just feel the pressure of life situations. You know, I had an opportunity, a brother might be watching us right now, Gene. Good fellowship together, he and his wife, Trisha, yesterday. Kim does her hair, been doing her hair for a long time. And, you know, he's battled some things in his health. But we're lifting him up. We're lifting you up in prayer, Gene, and we thank God for you. He watches. He was telling me yesterday. So we thank God for all of you back there who serve. He can't see you, but you're making him available for him to see us and to be a part right now where he can't, you know, physically be here or there with his wife in the congregation where she attends. But I'm just thankful for that. But, you know, he's got some upcoming doctor's appointments. So I want to remember him in prayer. And then I go inside and get a message from someone that called me. And, you know, Karen, a young lady here, her brother just passed. And so they wanted me to come down to the hospital because her father was in ICU. He had been sick, and they were taking him off of the oxygen. And he had passed before I got down to the hospital, but I did have a chance to, you know, be with the family a little bit, to pray with them. Then I come home. And I get a message on my phone that my cancer doctor saw something on my report. So I, you know, that initial, you can kind of feel that little increase of heart rate or whatever. I think it was just a, you know, whatever. We'll confirm. I got my physical coming tomorrow anyway with my doctor. So we'll get that blood work checked. But it happened last year. Something was high, and it turned out just to be a false reading. So, but she was like, if you don't feel good, get to the emergency room. Well, man, I was feeling okay, but now I'm feeling kind of, man, what is that? So I get it. I understand. I can relate to life. I'm as human as anyone, all right? But, brothers and sisters, if we do not make time to invest in our spiritual well-being and our walk with the Lord, then please tell me what words are going to be coming out of our heart and mouth. If we do not make a little time to invest in our emotional well-being and our mental well-being and even our physical well-being, I've learned I don't have a set day off, and I've learned I've got to just take breaks when I can. Go outside and just go for a walk or just go some, you know, I got to take breaks to have that mental. It's our tanks run down, brothers and sisters. Our spiritual tank, our emotional tank, our mental, our relational, our physical tanks. And we've got to pause long enough to refill and to recharge. You got to recharge your batteries in your phone, right? We need to pause our spirit and our heart and our bodies. Because if we don't, then what Christ-like ways are we going to live out for others to follow? We influence with our words and our ways. So let me just take a moment here and let me get your input on this before I give you the second one. Let's talk about a minute, okay? Help me out. I need some refill. What is one way that we can recharge and refill our spirit, man? What is one way we can invest in our spiritual walk with the Lord? Would anyone help me? Anyone? What's that? Okay, prayer. Having that time in prayer, all right? And praise and worship, yes. Brother Smitty.
Time in Scripture.
Time in Scripture. We had a blessed time yesterday at the breakfast, and we were talking about, and you were sharing how whatever form, you know, I don't know maybe where to read, not should I read through this or where that, but if you're into the Word at all, it's not wasted. It's good. You're feeding your spirit and you're strengthening your spirit. The praise and worship, so important. It's an expression of our faith, giving thanks to God. It's an expression of our faith and an exercise of our faith. And when we do so, it strengthens us. So that time in prayer, giving God, oh my goodness, aren't we just so distracted? But to take those few minutes, for me, it helps to get up a little earlier. And just to come down and just, because my mind's wanting to wander and get to work already, and to just try to focus my best on, I open the Scripture and try to, I'm praying for people, praying for myself, praying for situations, yes. And to just give God, to prioritize and protect just a few undistracted moments, because I need you, Lord.
That's right.
Be a godly example. To recharge. And then we need that emotional recharge and even the mental. You know, it's good to laugh. Laughing is good for our emotions. It's good for our bodies. A study was done. I read about it years ago that actually there were health benefits that verify the proverb which says a merry heart does good like a medicine. To laugh. Go home and watch some old I Love Lucy or something, I don't know. Some of the comedies you might not be able to find so funny today, I don't know. But just to have to laugh and enjoy life and to get that emotional refill and take a moment to just pause. Those are all good. We're investing in ourselves. Brothers and sisters, it's not being selfish. It's investing so we can be a better influence to others. Would you say be a godly influence? Would you just give a big smile and tell somebody around you, be a godly influence. Then even physically, try to get some good nutrition in. Look, I know it's easy to, convenient to do everything else, But try to find something God made, and not just man-made out of a factory. If it's got a paragraph of ingredients you can't even pronounce, maybe not so much of that, maybe a little bit of that, and more of something that actually God made. And then drink that water. Try to get some good activity and rest. It's so important for our well-being. So not only, in fact, let me read these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to pick right back where we left off at verse 12. He says, you know, be that godly influence. 1 Timothy 4, 13 says it like this. Till I come, give attention. Give your attention to reading, to exhortation, to encouragement, to doctrine or teaching. In other words, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Find a place of service so you can be that conduit and not a cul-de-sac. Be that flowing river and not the Dead Sea. Neglect not the gift that's in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. And notice how it's worded, that your progress may be evident to all. So when others say, Brother Rock, he hadn't arrived, but it looks like he's growing. He's not quite as nasty as he was 10 years ago or whatever, or selfish or whatever it may be. So your progress may be evident to all. If people are looking for a perfect example, you just got to point them to Jesus. But we can be a godly example, and that's what God calls us to be. So invest in yourself, and then to be a godly example, let's also invest in others. Invest in yourself and invest in others. Influencing is investing. I don't know if any of you have been blessed or you are blessed that you have some form of investment. Some people in their work, they have like a company plan, or it's almost like a retirement and money can go in. Maybe some of you have done that on your own outside of work. But the nature of any investment is there is some degree of risk. And if we're going to invest in others, sons, daughters, friends, coworkers, parents, if we're going to invest in others, there is some degree of risk. Like I said, God has no grandparents. Everyone must choose to follow Jesus for himself or herself. And sometimes we invest and we pour out and we don't see the results that we were hoping for. That's not our part. Our part is to be faithful, to continue to invest. We don't give up. We invest continuously. We invest faithfully. We invest prayerfully. And we invest over the long term with the hope of seeing a good return on our investment. But ultimately, for the Lord's glory. So to invest in others, would you look at verse 16? Still right there in 1 Timothy 4. And verse 16 says it like this. Take heed to yourself and to the teaching, that's all doctrine means. Continue in them. Would you say that with me? Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. See, when we invest in others and we do it with pure motives before God, it blesses us and helps us too. It's not wasted. Whatever others may or may not do with it is their ultimate choice, but it is not wasted. God will see to it that we are investing still in ourselves and we are blessed in turn. Now, as parents, we are the primary influencers and investors in our sons and daughters. And, of course, especially during those early years and when they're under our care, but we still have the opportunity, as maybe they would even get out on their own, we can still be a godly influence in their lives. We can live a life of example before them. And it may be done more in an advice or a counseling type of way rather than training them. Because I'm telling you, and you know if you're a parent, and for those who may be watching, you're going to be a parent one day, it takes love. Man, it takes sacrifice, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes work, it takes faithfulness, it takes bandages on your heart, bandages on their knees. It takes all of that effort to train our sons and daughters and bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That doesn't just happen by chance. That's an investment that we are called. I was just reading something. I just saw this week. I printed it today. It's apparently a new book out. And according to this new book, the best way to pass faith down to your children, where is it? It says, stay relaxed while modeling joyful worship and genuine belief. Stay relaxed while modeling joyful worship and genuine belief. And it says parents have to really believe it. The kids can kind of tell how much of this is fake. The book is called Handing Down the Faith, How Parents Pass Their Religion On to the Next Generation. And they said that parents should model religious behavior they want their children to emulate. Not really just pressuring them, making them conform. I would say this, it doesn't matter where they're your son or daughter or anyone you're trying to reach and invest in and influence for the Lord. Go for the heart. Go for the heart. God is not about just behavior modification. He is about heart transformation. And we can have our sons and daughters do what we want them to do in front of us, and their heart is completely off somewhere else. And that will come out in time. Go for their heart and guide them in their own walk with the Lord. That's what we read in Scripture. That's what we read about Lois and Eunice. In fact, let me give you one more scripture here. Would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Invest in yourself. Invest in others. Guide them in their own walk with the Lord and be that godly influence. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and beginning in verse 12. 2 Timothy 3:12. The Bible says this. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's becoming more personal in our day, in our culture. Many have, that's been their life for 2,000 years. But for us, it's maybe a little more applicable now. And he says in verse 13, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. You see that godly influence? You hear the godly influence in those words? And then he goes on. Remember, he had the godly mom, godly grandmother. And he goes on in verse 15, he says this, and that from childhood, that literally means infancy, from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. How did an infant become familiar with the words of Scripture? Please tell me. Because somebody was speaking that word to him, imparting that word. So sharing the word, again, doing it in a right way, but when you're, I had heard that years ago before Kim reminded me, 28 years ago. Okay.
Same date.
It was a date. 28 years ago, last night, Kim's sister and husband came over. The doctor told Kim she had a bug. And they brought a pregnancy test over. And Kim took the pregnancy test. And guess what? It wasn't a bug. It was a Brit. And we actually announced it. They were recognizing moms the next morning at church. And I shared that, and they recognized Kim as a mom on Mother's Day just because we found out the night before she was pregnant. About 11:30 that Saturday night, if I remember correctly. we learned that, and once I had heard that even, you know, babies in the womb, it's almost like, you know how you can hear, like if you put your hands over your ears, but you can still hear somewhat, that when they get to a certain point of development, they can hear. So I started reading a proverb a day at night, like before we went to bed, I would read a proverb a day to her stomach, but I was really reading it to the baby. And right about that time, this was like 11:30 at night. So I would just say this, any parents who want to do that in the future, you might want to do that at your child's the bedtime you want them to go to bed, not your bedtime. Because you want to stay up all night from day one. But I really believe that their spirit takes it in, based on the verse we just read. And because God's word will minister to our spirit, you see how important it is for us to have godly friends, godly input, godly influence, so that we can be a godly friend and godly influence to others as well. Be a godly influence. I'll close with this scripture if you want to write it down. We'll put it on the screen. It's found in the book of Psalms. Psalms 112. Psalms 112. And before I read these two verses, let's just pause a minute right now. Now I want to ask you, let's examine ourselves. I get it. It's easy to examine someone else. I know. Believe me, it's uncomfortable to examine ourselves. I'm not saying examine yourself to condemn you. I'm saying it so that we grow. It's important. We need to grow in Christ's likeness. Growing in Christ's likeness is good, but it is painful at times. There are growing pains because it means we have to change. And none of us have arrived. But to look at ourselves and to say, Lord, show me maybe in word, maybe in the way I live, maybe in prioritizing time with you. Where can I apply this right now in my life? How will I refill my tank first with you, Lord? And then when the Lord shows us and he brings his conviction, not condemnation, conviction, he says, this is the area right here I want to address right now. Let's be quick to repent, okay? Let's be quick to repent. Keep our heart soft before the Lord. And then remember, influence is not controlling. It's not manipulating. It's living a life of genuine obedience to God so that whether anyone else is looking or not, we're doing what we are to do. That's being a godly influence. He says this in Psalms 112, verse 1 in the New Living Translation. It says, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Isn't that a blessing, man? It's a blessing when our heart finds joy in God's word and has proper reverence and respect and fear of the Lord. And then at the end of that psalm, it says this in verse 9, they share freely and give generously to those in need. That's investing, brothers and sisters. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Notice, they will have influence and honor. Be a godly influence. How many of you today would say, I thank God, somewhere over the course of my years, or maybe even at this present moment, I have had or I have a godly influence in my life? Would you raise up your hands? Look at that. All across this sanctuary. Thank you so much. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Would you stand with me?